The next one, I think, has a lot more relevance, I think, across the board. And this is al-jadl wal-mira' wal-ladad, that arguing and picking apart another's words and quarreling. You know, what we would say lawyering. When you do it, like, you know, when two people are talking to each other and they say, oh, but you said this, and you stick on that word and you try to, like, they completely lose picture of what the other person was trying to say, and it becomes a big fight. And you often see little kids doing this. So argumentation generally and quarreling, this has actually been listed as a kabira. And when I read this, I was like, oh my God, you know, this is actually very scary. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his holy book, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ أَلَّدُّ الْخِصَامِ. That from there's a type of man who's about his worldly life may dazzle you. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يُعْجِبُكَ. You look at them, you're like, wow, that guy, I mean, he works for PricewaterhouseCoopers. You know, he works for such and such law firm. And you're really wowed by them. في الحياة الدنيا ويشهد الله على ما في قلبي, and he swears on Allah that, you know, this is what is in his heart. وهو ألد الخصام, and yet he is the most bitter of خصام. Like, you know, مخاصمة is when you're in like a debate, but over here they translate it as enemy, but, you know, like an argumentative enemy. وإذا تولى سعى في الأرض ليفسد فيها ويهلك الحرث والنسل والله لا يحب الفساد. So Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, he said, "Al-mira'u ta'anuka fi kalami li-izhari khalalin fi li-ghayri ardin siwa tahqiri qailihi wa-izhari maziyatika alayh." Imam Ghazali, he said that, what's the word he said? Al-mira', picking apart another's words, consists of attacking another person's speech. By revealing mistakes in it. Or you're just trying to find some type of nuqs or some type of deficiency in it. And you have no other motive than tahqir li qailihi. They say contempt, but tahqir is to make a person down, put the other person down. You want to disgrace the other person. Wa izhari maziyatika alayhi, and you want to show that I'm so much higher than you. Right, so a person says, "Oh, I want to buy a Chanel blanket," and you're like, "It's Chanel," right? And no, there's different ways to correct a person, but when you try to do it to really poke at the other person to say, "Like, what are you? Look, I'm so sophisticated. I know how to speak. You don't even have, you know, you don't even have a tongue. You have no eloquence about you," and you pick apart their words. And people like to do this because it makes them feel good about themselves. They wait for a chance. They wait for a chance when a person slips on their word so they can jump on it. They can jump on it, and then it makes the other person feel... And look, when I grew up, we were like first generation immigrants, my parents were. And when I grew up not pronouncing the word, the letter, what was it? Vest, right, with a V, I would say west with a W, because I didn't know any better. I didn't know the difference of, you know, the phenomes between a V and a W. So I still remember the kid, the one person who poked fun at me about that. They're like, "What did you say again?" You know, and then I'm like, this is 30 years down the line, but I still remember in fifth grade when someone poked fun at me at that. It really sticks with you. So obviously that wasn't picking words, but it's in the same vein.
قال النووي رحمه الله اعلم ان الجدل قد يكون بحق وقد يكون بباطل.
That's the next point.
واما الجدال فعباره اما عن امر يطلق باظهار المذاهب وتقريرها. وقال اما الخصومه فلجاج في الكلام ليستوفي به مقصودا من مال او لغيره, وتاره يكون ابتداء وتاره يكون اعتراضا, والمراد لا يكون الا اعتراضا. هذا كلام الغزالي.
So he goes on to say that dispute, that was mira'. Then jidal, which is disputation or argumentation, is what relates to clarifying various legal positions and making a case for them. Concerning arguing, he said, arguing is importunateness in speech to gain one's end, whether it's monetary or another. And it may be initiated by oneself or in response to another. So Imam Nawawi, then he goes on to say that, you know, disputation can be for something. It's not like you can't defend your standpoint at all. It's not like you can't speak up and you just have to be quiet. There's a difference between, and he makes this clarification, said that sometimes argumentations is done for the purpose of a right of some individual, is done for the purpose of the truth, is trying to establish something right or good. That's one side. And sometimes it's for falsehood. You know you're wrong, or you have a bad intention, or you want to usurp someone else's money, or you want to win a case, or you have ego about an issue. I mean, it's usually very clear when you're arguing for the right reason and when you're arguing for the wrong reason. But it's not clear when you're arguing. It's clear afterwards. Because when you're arguing, of course you think you're right. That's why you're arguing. Only when you calm down and you can really look at the issue, then you're like, okay, maybe I can see the other person's point. It's very difficult to be able to see clearly otherwise. And so to bring this as proof, he said, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And do not argue with the Ahlul Kitab إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. But you can do it if you do it in the best way. Meaning that there is allowance for argumentation. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And Allah actually says, and debate with them. You know, argue with them. بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. With the thing that is better. And then in another verse he said, وَمَا يُجَادِلُ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And no one argues in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except those who disbelieve. So in these situations, we find that there's a different intention in each one of these situations. And according to the intention, it will dictate the permissibility or the impermissibility of argumentation. One person, they remarked, he said that, I've not seen anything that impairs one's religion, diminishes one's respectability, and ends one's happiness or preoccupies one's heart like arguing. This is a very powerful, what is it in Arabic? قَالَ بَعْضُهُ مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا أَذْهَبُ لِلدِّينَ. I haven't seen anything that takes away your deen. وَلَا أَنْقَصُ لِلْمُرُؤَةِ. And it takes down your nobility, right? It takes you down a peg in your noble nature or stature. وَلَا أَشْغَلُ لِلْقَلْبِ. And it completely occupies your heart. You can't think about anything else. And if you've ever been in a fight with someone, even after the fight, there's residue. Then you think, okay, what did they say? I could have made this argument. And you just keep on playing it the whole day. Where's zikr? Where's anything else? Even in the salah, the same thing is playing the whole day. I could have said this. Why did they say this? Sometimes they feel bad. And then when you start seeing their point, then you start making extra, you know, arguments in your own mind. It's like this whole world is playing out in a person's mind. And no one knows that except for then أشغل للقلب. Right? There's nothing else that occupies a person's heart من الخصومة than from argumentation. So we talked about that as well. It comes in one riwayah. This is in Tirmidhi. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كفى بك إثما ألا تزال مخاصما. But it's enough for you as a sin that you don't desist in arguing. I mean, Rasulullah says, you look at his demeanor, مَا كَانَ صَخَابٍ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. He wasn't a person who was loud-mouthed, shouting around in markets. And you see this, you know, in markets, especially overseas, when people are trying to deal, they say, what are you talking about? And they get, you know, they get really riled up. It's part of the show, right? And people know it, and they enjoy it. That was below the muru'ah of Rasulullah. He was refined. And he wasn't like this, and he wasn't an argumentative person. And he said, كَفَى بِكَ إِثْمًا أَلَّا تَزَالُ مُخَاصِمًا. That forget about the sin of anything else. The fact that you don't want to give up the argument, this is enough of a sin. It comes in another riwayah, مَا ضَلَّ قَوْمٌ بعد هدى كانوا عليه إلا أوتوا الجدال ثم اقتلى ما ضربوه لك إلا جدلا. That he said that no people went astray after having been guided, كانوا عليه, that they were on this guidance, except that they were إلا أوتوا الجدال, except they were given argumentation. Meaning the way to go from guidance into misguidance is to get into this whole realm of trying to rationalize and argue. And you look at many of the quote-unquote modernist, right, or neo-modern movements which move away from traditional Islam, they're all based on argumentations, right? False argumentation, which you know that's clearly wrong. You start off with your premise, where the thing that you're trying to prove, and then you gather the proofs to support that. When actually the deen is supposed to work the other way around. You start with the proofs, and you let them take you to your conclusion. And that's a fundamental difference between the traditional approach to the deen and the modernist approach, because they start with the fact that men and women are equal. I'm not saying they are not. So they already think that that is a given truth. Now let's find everything in the Quran that supports it. Homosexuality is okay. Now let's find everything in the Quran that will support that. And what they do is they find something and then they get excited and then they forget everything else and all the other literature. Because there's a selection bias and there's a huge bias in terms of conducting research in that way. The other way, the true way that you're supposed to do is you open up the Quran and Sunnah, find, collect everything on that particular topic and see where the evidence leads you. Right? And then that should lead a person to the truth. And then he read, ثُمَّ تَلَى مَا ضَرَبُوهُ لَكَ إِلَّا جَدَلًا. They did not mention him, yani Isa alayhi salam, to you, except as an argument. Rasulullah said in a different narration, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ زِلَةُ عَالِمٍ. The thing that I fear most for you, from the things that I fear about you, is the slipping of a scholar. That's the first thing that he mentioned. And then he said, وَجِدَالُ مُنَافِقٍ, and the argumentation of a munafiq فِي الْقُرْآنِ. وَدُنْيَا تَقْطَعُ أَعْنَاقِكُمْ أَتَقْطَعُ أَعْنَاقَكُمْ. That in the worldly life which cuts your neck off. This is narrated by Ibn Umar. So the first thing is the slip of a scholar. Because when a scholar slips, the nation slips. People look to scholars as representations of the deen and everything that they hold to be true. And that's why it hurts so much when they make mistakes. And it has tremendous amount of ramifications and a ripple effect in society when they mess up. Because who's going to catch the mistake? I mean, who catches their mistake? It's like if no one's watching, I mean, the awam are not going to know. Like, if a very proficient scholar says something, Mufti Taqi says, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, this didn't really make sense to me. Mufti Taqi said, and you just run with it. And that's why it's a tremendous amount. You read Mufti Taqi's Al-Misbah, which is one of the kitabs that about the Rusumul Mufti. The traditions and the parameters of becoming a mufti. In the beginning, he just talks. One of the things that really struck me about that kitab, it wasn't part of my course, but I had read portions of it. It really struck me was he said that be careful because you're basically you're the voice of God on earth. Right? Basically, the way that people will look at you, you're speaking that this is what the deen is saying. This is what the Quran is telling. You're basically serving as an interpreter. Speaking for religion, speaking for Allah, and saying, this is what it is. So, that, I mean, when you hear things like that, you're like, I don't want to say anything. And Shaykh Zulfiqar, one of the things that they say that he would say the most, when people would ask him questions, he said, go and ask a mufti. Like, why take it on your shoulder? Just send it to someone, he said, go and ask a mufti. So it's not a light thing to be a mufti, and it's not a light thing to slip. وَجِدَالُ مُنَافِقٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, and the argumentation of a munafiq when it comes to the matters of the Qur'an. And this is actually particularly unsavory. So the munafiq, this is a munafiq who doesn't necessarily realize that he's a munafiq. And it's particularly unsavory when jidal is done with the Qur'an. When a person says, oh brother, bring me your dalil. Right, and then this is like the total college scene, right? MSA, brother, bring me your dalil, right? And then he says, oh, you know, bring me your dalil. These are not boxing gloves that you put Quran. The Quran wasn't revealed for this, right? This was not the purpose of the Quran. The Quran was, this is Kalamullah. to take it and hit other people over the head with it, I mean, that was not the thing. وَدُنْيَا تَقْطَعُ عَنَاكُمْ, right? And the dunya, that it cuts off your necks. That this is the thing that Rasulullah feared. It was not poverty that he feared for us, but that the dunya be opened up to us. And I mean, sometimes you particularly hear about that in the West, you know, because doctors, engineers, top of every field, you find Muslims. It's like, you know, we have all the dunya that you could, you know, think about or wish for. And it's the thing that sometimes leads us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. And then he goes into another topic, which is an aside. وَيُكْرَهُ التَّغْيِيرُ فِي الْكَلَامِ بِالتَّشَدُّقِ وَتَكَلُّفِ السَّجْعِ بِالْفَصَاحَةِ بِالْمُقَدَّمَاتِ الَّتِي عَتَادُهَا الْمُتَفَاحِسُونَ. This is a different aside. It's an important topic, but I don't know if we're going to have time to cover it. It's people who speak with artifice. You know, they, in Urdu we say, like, بَنْ كِ بَانْ كَرْنَا. You know, people who speak and they try to craft their words and they try to act like they're overly something that they're not. And they want to show that, oh, I use really big words. And so they'll use a word like, oh, that was serendipitous. Like, and they might not even know what the word means, but they just read that, or they just read it that same morning, and they're just waiting for a point where they can, you know, use that word. Some people, they naturally have balagha, and this was considered, you know, a mark of a person's honor. People used to respect this in Arabic society. But to do it takallufan, to it for the sake of trying to show that, look, I'm something big, or when it's not inherent, but to try to put your robe on someone else, or try to show off, or to try to you know, get big on someone else, this is all artificial. And the deen doesn't like that. This is makruh, to be artificial like that. And I used to really have a difficult time with this, because when I came to know about this, actually very early, probably like in my teenage years, or maybe, you know, it was probably in my late teenage years. So when you go and give a talk, or you give in a khutbah, it becomes very difficult. Like, how do you give a khutbah? Because that's not the normal way that you talk, right? And sometimes when you talk in these other ways, like the way I used to give talks as a teenager was very different, right? It was like many of the talks you might hear on YouTube or something. It wasn't just like talking to people. It was like, but then, you know, like, you know, you're just, and sometimes people start crying and people get emotional, and then you feed off their emotion, and then you get more emotional, and then tears are coming out your eyes and tears are coming out of their eyes. You're like, that was a great bayan. But, and you know, there is some power in that. You hear some of these very powerful speakers online, they really get you carried away, and it motivates them. Like, I was listening to something recently with my daughter, which was addresses by different, you know, speakers. They don't say who the speakers are, to sisters in Islam. And they, you know, in such a crafty and nice way. And if you look in the comments underneath, there was like, the sister's like, I started wearing hijab after listening to this. And it was, you know, in a very beautiful, they say, sister, you already had it beautiful. You know, and like, he said it with so much himma, then they're like, yeah, I'm really beautiful. And I can wear hijab now. And so they get motivated. And so there was, so I used to give, you know, back in that time when, you know, you give talks like that, it's very difficult to sort of find the line. Where am I being artificial, and when am I actually being real? And later on, I mean, there's one thing that I remember hearing or learning from Sheikh Zulfiqar that I think I should hold close to heart. He said, "Hamara maqsad na hai rona ya rulana," that our purpose is neither to cry nor to make other people's cry. That's not the purpose of a bayan. In another place, he said that we don't give bayans, we give, or I was told by one of the other mashayikh, he says, we don't give bayans, we give the wajjah. Meaning the spirituality that is in our heart that we inherited from our predecessors, we just sit, we're giving the bayan, but the bayan is just an excuse, it's just a chant for people to benefit from that nur that's coming from behind us, that connects people back to Rasulullah. It's not about the bayan, it's about something in your heart. And you find that sometimes you sit in front of people, they don't have something spectacular to say. They say a couple of things, but it strikes your heart. You know, you heard the same thing so many times. There's this one sheikh, like, he gave a talk, and then this one young brother came afterwards. He said, brother, I don't know what to say. Your words, they really struck my heart. Right? Why was that? Because there was something already in his heart that was going into the other person's heart. And that's something, this is a tamyiz that you see with the mashayikh. That when there is ta'thir and they themselves are affected, then you can affect other individuals as well. But I said that was an aside. I didn't want to spend too much time on that. But it's called like the mutashaddiqun and mutafayhiqun. I didn't want to talk about this argumentation because it has several important parts about this. Why is it so bad? Argumentation actually involves so many different problems. Very quickly, involves ujub. You can't argue until you actually think that you're all that, and that you're smart. You think you're so smart. You think you got a powerful argument, and you think you're better than the other person. And that's the second part of the kibr, that not only do you think that you're smart, and that you have a great point, but you think the other person's point is a lowly point. Right? You're not even ready to hear the other person out. The third thing that is so bad is it shows a tremendous amount of spiritual immaturity. You look at children. Have you ever seen children fight? You know, they just go at it. You're like, why are you being so immature? But mom, he said this. No, no, but you said this first. But you did it to me first. But I wouldn't have done it if you... And you're like, stop. Just stop. Right? You're like, I want to just take... You know, when it gives you a headache when you see that, imagine how it feels like when Allah subhanahu is watching us when a person is like arguing with their spouse. It's the same type of immaturity. You know, Shaykh Hussein one time he said that you take two children, you put them in a room, they'll argue, and you take two people who are spiritually immature and you put them in a room and they end up arguing. And it's like that. You know, for many couples, there's when you put them inside and you put them on vacation, it's all ticking time bomb. When does the next fight start? So you just put on the timer. It's just a matter of time. Right? How long can you last? And so it's the same thing. The other thing is it shows short-sightedness and a lack of hikmah. And people who argue and who are vehement in their argument in jidal, they focus on the tree and they forget the forest. They say, but you said this. Right? They start picking words. But understand what we're talking about. We're not even talking about that. And then when this person starts going down, then they start pulling other things at the other, because they don't want to go down. So then they start pulling something from last week or last month. They're like, we're not even talking about that. But then they say something hurtful. And then they say something like, oh, but you never do this anyway. They're like, what do you mean? Those are powerful words. Never, you always. No one never, never does any. No one never, nevers, and no one always, always. Right? There's those things generally don't happen. There's no such things as absolute step. When you say something like that, it infuriates the other party. It leads to so many problems. And then people who have been so together for so long, then they think, how can I live with this person? Is it? I mean, really, shaitan takes you to, and this shaitan who's pumping from behind, and he's having a grand, it's like he's watching a show. It's like, wow, this is great. He loves it. He eats it up alive. He loves it. And that's why he gives the congratulations to the person who did all these other things, and then the person said, oh, I you know, separated between husband and wife. He said, oh yeah, na'am anta. You're the one who did it. The other thing is a lack of commitment for the truth. When a person in argumentation, it's extremely difficult to remain truly honest. Because there's all these subtleties that are you really, really being honest when you say that, or are you just trying to make your point? And that line gets very blurred. And the other thing is that when a person starts going down, then they start becoming more violent. No person wants to go down, so then they start escalating. So how do you start escalating? First it starts with argumentation. Then you start going down, then it starts with raising your voice. Then after that, then a person starts, they don't know what to do because they don't want to go down, so they start throwing anything they can. So then the curse word starts coming out. Or, you know, some bad thing about the other person starts coming out. Whatever they can, whatever the person's limit is. Person who never swore before will swear in that type of person. Person who reads Quran every single day will end up saying the F word. And they themselves, afterwards, they feel so ashamed when they look and say, how could I have said something like that? And then when it goes beyond that and they can't control, then it gets physical. Right? وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ But then it does. And the same thing applies to wife, children, what else, so on and so forth. So practical cases where this is... this applies. You see people arguing their views about religion and politics. You know, they love, okay, are you Salafi, Devendi, Brailvi? You know, I mean, let it go. Just do your Ahmad. Right? There's better things. We haven't been sent to argue. We've been sent to work and prepare for death. College students, they're confused about themselves, and yet they're trying to convince about everyone else into their confusion. Right, I mean, they don't even have direction, but they're ready to, you know, assert what they know as the gospel truth. Husband and wife, this is the most common. Right? And you look at the word for Arabic word for a spouse is one of the things ba'd. There's a variant reading of the pattern you can fall on, and it refers to a situation, a person who's in a situation of war, who refuses to respond to provocation no matter how strong the provocation is. And I think that really recapitulates, you know, marital life. Children, they love to argue nowadays because they grow up thinking their parents know nothing. But understand that in the same way that when you're 16 and you'll be smarter when you're 18 and you'll be no more when you're 26, and you won't be the same person that you were 26 and you're 16, your parents also went through the same phases. So respect that. Right? There's something behind what they're saying. They're not grabbing out, just because they're from India and Pakistan, that doesn't mean they don't know anything about life. Just because they're from, you know, Bilad, doesn't mean they don't know anything about life. Right? They have something behind them, so we should respect that. And the last thing is court cases. So if you can avoid getting into court cases, avoid getting into court cases. Because, I mean, we had a situation like that. I mean, there's one sheikh. He was in itikaf, and he was said that, you know, we had such a zulm was done on them, and he later on got khilafah. I don't think he was a khalifa at that time, or sheikh at that time, but he came to me and he says, no, I'm in this situation. And he was thinking about it, and it was bothering him so much that even when he's in itikaf, it took up his mind. Then he told me about it, then it took up my mind. So then he went and asked one of the senior sheikhs, he said, just leave it. It's just a distraction. And the same thing happened when me and my wife, one time we had one, and I'll close with this, we went to go and buy a bed. And this was actually, it was in the newspapers, you know, ACLU took up the case. And so we went and buy a bed, and the guy refused to sell it to us. This was before the Paris attacks. This is like, you know, like 5-6 years ago, where still, there were still, I mean, even now there's still is, you know, justice and rule of law. So we actually, you know, went, and so they published papers on it, you know, you're all over the place. But then what happens is now you're on the thing, and now you look at your article and you see what comments people put underneath it. And some people said some really nasty things that, well, if, I mean, and they said, you know, her husband is a, you know, resident physician at so and so. And still the ignorant type of comments and clearly prejudicial, racist, hateful, you know, comments that making. Now they say something like that, and now you're thinking about it, and it's distracting. And I remember talking to my sheikh about it. He said, just leave it. It's a distraction. And it was. The $1,000 or $10,000 that you might have gotten from a settlement was not worth the distraction from zikr that was when you're in those type of court cases. And the same thing applies with, you know, with any other type of mini court cases that we have in life. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the sin of argumentation. وأخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله